Okay, good afternoon. As you can see, I've changed the title. That's not importance of fiber quality, but current and future fiber quality demand and the implications for the cotton production sector. Okay. So, as you know, the textile industry relocated. A few years back, we had a lot of textile industry in the US, and now it's somewhere else. And this had obviously some impact on our research objectives. If you look at the evolution of the yield, it's for the world, ICAC source, between 1950 and 2010, you see that we are on a trend up. It's nearly a perfect linear correlation. So, you know, the yield is going up. It seems good. The production is going up. It seems good. But obviously, at the same time, we had a very large increase in the world population, which means that per capita, it doesn't look that good. But what is really of a big concern, it is a market share. If you look at the market share for cotton in 1960 worldwide, it was about 70%. If you look today, it's about 30% market share. This is an extremely dangerous path. If we keep going this way, you know, we will eat a 20% market share pretty soon, and when you reach a 20% market share, most of the machine manufacturers lose interest, and they don't develop new instruments, new spinning technologies, new machinery specifically for cotton. Now you have to keep using older type of technology, and pretty soon you lose everything. So keeping our market share is absolutely, I think, the most important thing we can do for the future of cotton. If we keep going that way, and in some countries we already are below 15% market share for cotton. So we have to be extremely cautious about that. If you look at the situation in the U.S., in 1997, domestically we used 11.3 million bales. And we exported 7.5, 97. This is the situation today. 3.6 million bales, and it's pretty constant since several years now, and we export about three-quarters of our production overseas. We have two main spinning technologies in the world for cotton, is the rotor spinning and the ring spun yarn. Traditionally, for the U.S., our market is the rotor spinning, or open end. For open end, the most important of the parameters is strength, then fineness, then length, and cleanliness. When you look at the ring spun yarn, you can see on these pictures that the yarn structures are quite different. For the ring spun yarn, the fibers are parallel, and then you twist, and it keeps everything together basically by friction. So obviously, to increase friction, you need fibers that are long. So length is a very important parameter. Strength is also important, and fineness. More fibers you have in the yarn diameter, better will be the friction, stronger will be your yarn. So the ranking of the fiber properties is different for these two technologies. So now, if you look at the installed spinning capacities for short staple, mostly cotton, between 84 and 2010, and here is just a comparison of U.S. and China. If you look at the rotor in U.S. in 94, we had about 300,000 rotor. Then we had a big increase in our textile production, and in 94, we reached more than 1 million rotors. Then down to 300 in 2010. At the same time, China went from 100,000 rotors in 84 to 2.2 million in 2010. But more importantly, look at the ring. We had 14 million spindles in 84. 2010, about 700,000. China at the same time went from 22 million spindles to 120 million spindles. And you know, most of the U.S. cotton is exported to Asia. And in all the countries from Asia, you see this trend. ring spinning is absolutely dominant. So we had, you know, in the late 90s, varieties designed for rotor, but the market produced ring spinning. So we had to change very, very quickly to give them the type of product they want. If you look at the investments, and here it's a cumulative shipments of textile machinery between 2002 and 2011, and you see that 94% of all the new installation of textile equipment was in Asia and Oceania for that period. For the short staple, which is mostly cotton. For the long staple, it was 59%, and for open-end rotor, 76%. So there is no doubt where the market is. The market is in Asia, and it's a market that do mostly ring spinning. Therefore, we need fibers that are long, uniform in length, fine, and strong. If you look at the weaving machinery, that's exactly the same scenario. Both for shuttle-less and shuttle, you have 91.4 and 99.2% that is going in Asia and Oceania. North America, Europe are, in fact, de-investing. So what are the main fiber properties that we can work with in order to improve our market share? The first one will be maturity. You know how cotton fiber is? Basically, at the beginning of the development, it's a tube with not much in it. Then day after day, you add layers of cellulose until the fiber is full of cellulose, and now you have a complete mature fiber. And everything in between obviously can exist depending on the weather conditions, irrigation, insect pressure, etc. This is an example of an extremely immature cotton, where you can see that you have nearly no cellulose deposition in the cell. This would be obviously a very, very bad type of cotton. So, as you know, most of the people use micronair as a substitute for maturity and fineness. And micronair is a combination of both maturity and fineness. Here in this example, I have two bales of cotton that are exactly similar based on micronair. Micronair is 4.3. Then we took these samples and cut slices and look at these slices under the microscope. It's what you saw here. Okay? And then you measure for each of the fiber the perimeter and the amount of cellulose in each of the cells. So from this, you have for each of the cross sections maturity and a perimeter. Having this, you can build these bivariate histograms. You can see very, very clearly that you have this variety here, this bale here, has a lot of very mature fiber. It's exactly what we want, and it's a fine cotton, small diameter, with a lot of mature fiber. But this one, even if it is a premium range cotton in terms of micronair, you have a lot of immature fibers. And obviously, it's a coarse cotton. But they have the same micronair. So that's the reason why, you know, we need absolutely to work on both maturity and fineness and not just micronair. This is an example that somebody showed this morning. Here, let's say that you look at this line with a micronair of 4. Everything along this line has a micronair of 4. If you look at this black dot, this is a fiber that has a very large perimeter, 19, and very poor maturity. Exactly the type of cotton we do not want for ring spinning. But the micronair is 4. This one, the second black dot, if I can reach it here, you have a fiber diameter of 14, which is very good, very fine fiber. So if you do a ring spun yarn, you have many more fibers in the cross section, much more friction. It will give you a much better yarn and extremely mature, exactly what you want. But both as a micronair of 4. So why is it so important, this maturity? It's because it's directly related to the propensity to break. As you know, cotton is submitted to many, many mechanical stresses. First, during harvesting, the biggest during ginning, it passed through many, many machines that have the potential to break fibers. Then it goes into textile processing, where you have also a lot of mechanical instruments that can break fiber. So if you have fibers that are immature, these fibers are also weak, and they have a very high probability of breaking during the process. So now, instead of having one long fiber, you have two short, which means that you will have a length distribution that will be quite bad. And when you try to make a good ring spun yarn with that, you will have bad surprises. Especially, you will have a lot of defects in your yarn. So this brings us to the lengths. If you are extremely, extremely patient, you can take any sample of cotton and sort the fibers by length groups. That's what we did here. And you see that just in about 2 milligrams of fibers, you have all these different lengths. With the main system that everybody uses, HVI, you will make a comb with your cotton. It will look like that. And you pass a beam of light through this bead of fiber. And from that, you can get the length of the sample. It is a system that works extremely well. Unfortunately, it doesn't give you a length distribution. It just gives you a mean length and a perf mean length. So basically, with an HVI, you have two numbers, mean length, upper half mean length, and it's all you have. With the APHIS, which is another instrument to measure length, but it's much slower than HVI, you individualize your fibers and you test them basically one by one. So you have a fiber that is individualized that passes basically in an airstream in front of a sensor, and the length of the electrical signal when the fiber passes in front of the sensor is the length of your fiber. Works really nicely. You know, it can measure about 18 to 20 fibers per second, so it's quick. The only problem is that you have to measure 10 to 15,000 fibers per sample, so it takes a little while. But it gives really extremely important information. Especially, it gives you a complete length distribution. And as I was telling you a minute ago, length distribution is directly related to maturity and to individual fiber strengths, because immature fibers are weak and weak fibers break. Therefore, it will change the length distribution. And specifically, the fibers that are the shortest are the ones that create trouble. So in this example, it's three commercial bales. They have exactly the same upper half mean length based on HVI. The length is 110. And as you can see, the length distributions are drastically different. The bale in dark blue has an excellent length distribution. It will perform more than likely very well in spinning, while the one that is red has an extremely poor length distribution, and it will not perform well in spinning. But they have the same upper half mean length, because the upper half mean length is just the mean length of the longest fibers. And you can see here that the longest, in terms of longest fibers, those three cottons are basically identical. But the longest fibers are not the troublemaker. The troublemaker is the short ones. And here, they are not identical. So if you do that on many samples, in this example we have more than 3,000 commercial bales, and you try to relate the upper half mean length from HVI to the mean length obtained from the APHIS, you see that, I mean, you have a correlation, but it's far to be a good one. If you look at maturity versus short fiber content, both based on APHIS, you see that you have a pretty good relationship between the two variables. More mature is the cotton, better is the short fiber content. And it's logical, immature fibers are weak, weak fibers break. So when you are in a low level of maturity, you have a lot of weak fibers. These fibers are broken at the gene, in the lean cleaners also, and therefore you increase your short fiber content. So you can deal with that with combing. Combing is a process in the textile industry where you mechanically remove the short fibers. And obviously, again, very logically, you have a very good relationship between the aphis short fiber content and what we call the knolls, is what you remove with combing in a textile mill. The two correlate extremely well. So let's say that you take a cotton bale, and you look at the length distribution of the raw material. It's what you get here, a fineness of 165, maturity ratio of 0.86. You know, it's not a very high maturity, but it's a decent level of maturity. And then you comb it. You remove by mass 20% of the knolls. And you run those two samples again through the aphis. So now you have the combing knolls, the shorter fibers that you've removed from your sample, and the longest fibers. And you can, as you can see on this slide, they are drastically different in terms of maturity. The maturity ratio of the knolls is 0.7 to 1, which is very bad, while the maturity ratio of the good fibers is 0.94, which is excellent. So after combing, this cotton will perform very well. But in order to have that, you had to remove 20% of the mass of your sample with combing, which is really expensive. So among the things that we are not looking at since many, many years now, it's elongation of cotton fibers. When we had the HVIs coming on the market early 90s, pretty quickly it appeared that it was an excellent tool also for cotton breeding. Unfortunately, the HVIs are not calibrated for elongation. Therefore, pretty quickly everybody forgot about HVI, and you know, when we talk about HVI results, we talk about length, we talk about strength, about micronair, about color, but we don't talk about elongation. Why elongation is critically important for the work of rupture of bundles. We think that if you had cottons with an improved work of rupture, you will have less fiber breakage and therefore better yarn quality. So is it possible to do that with current HVIs? A lot of people will refer to a work that Lloyd May did a few years back, where he looked at all the literature review talking about elongation and tenacity from 54 to 94. It was done mostly with stellometer. And what they found is that tenacity is irritable, but elongation is also irritable. The only problem is you have a negative correlation between the two. So everybody concluded that if you improve strength based on bundle, based on HVI, you will also decrease elongation. And obviously reciprocal. And it's kind of true. If you look at here, it's just 547 samples, and you look at the relationship between tenacity and elongation, you have a negative relationship between the two. It's not a strong relationship, but you have a negative relationship. When you have a stronger bundle based on HVI, you tend to have lower elongation. In addition, the USDA is not producing calibration cotton for elongation, so which means that two different HVIs have two different levels. Therefore, how can you breed cotton if you cannot calibrate your tools? You know, from year to year, it may vary the level. It would be a mess. So basically, everybody forgot about doing this because of this issue. So is it possible to improve the work to break based on HVI? So in order to check for that, We set up a system with a tensile strength tester. I will pass quickly on that just to show you the results. The results show that if you improve elongation, you can improve quite drastically the work to break. If you look at this red dot in the middle of the chart, that's a cotton that has a tenacity of 24. It's not based on HVI level, it's based on stellometer level. And an elongation of 6%. And let's say it's our base. And then you're a breeder and you are looking at your different lines. You have another line that has a tenacity of 28, but unfortunately an elongation that is a little bit lower. In this case, it's 4%. You see that you have a work to break about 20% lower. So the market will give you a premium for that cotton because it's stronger based on the bundle strengths. But in fact, the quantity of energy you need to break these fibers is lower. It will break more easily at the gene. It will break more easily in processing. This other cotton that is also at 24, but with a better elongation, has a work to break of about 40% higher. So this cotton, you will not keep it because it's not better than your control. But nevertheless, this cotton will give you a much better product. So I can keep going on that for hours, and I will not. But with Jen Deaver, a breeder at Texas A&M AgriLife, we use this result to initiate a breeding program to improve the work to break. And we effectively improve the work to break by mostly working on elongation by more than 50% in just 3 cycles of selection. So this is something that works. Then we did the spinning test, and the spinning test confirmed that effectively, when you improve elongation, you have less fiber breakage of the gene, you have better yarn quality, you have less defects, and it fits much, much better the target market, which is the ring spinning market. Thank you.